And welcome to the UK and Ireland Minnesota Viking Fan Club podcast. I am your host and co-president of the club, Mr. Richard Dawson. And tonight I am joined by two absolute regulars on the show, vice president and all-around nice guy, Mr. John McDonald, and co-president and show producer, Mr. Reese Fields. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
But tonight we are also graced by Ant, who is co-host and founder of the Irish Bears Show. Say hello, Ant.
Hello, Ant.
Already fully into the swing of things. That's what I like to hear. Tonight we're going to be talking all things NFC North. So we've got the draft coming up, and also we are well into free agency. So we're going to talk about how the Bears are navigating their way through that. Obviously, we know that certain people have gone from the Bears team this year. We're going to see what Ant thinks about that and the NFC North going forward. So, NFC North, let's get into it. Well, like I said, we have got Ant from the Irish Bears Show joining us tonight. Going to talk all things NFC North. Thanks for being with us, Ant. Are you ready to talk some football?
Well, first of all, thanks very much for inviting me on, folks. I massively appreciate it. Also, I'll always come on a Viking show. I'll always come on a Lions show. There isn't a hope I'll ever go on a Packers show. So I'm delighted to have you guys here. Really is really cool to be here. So thanks very much for your time.
That's all right. Nothing joins the NFC North like hating the Packers.
Dan and Karen. Yes, yes.
So, yeah, and thank you very much for joining us. It's in free agency frenzy and the draft is coming up and there's lots of excitement around the NFC North and the NFL at the moment. But let's go all the way back to the beginning. If you could just let us know, why the Bears?
So for me, I'm one of those boring people that was born in Ireland back in the late 70s and grew up early in the early 80s. And in Ireland, there was two TV channels. That was it. So all these new people with their loads of channels. And of course, Monday, the only live sport that was on was a highlight show of around an hour on RTE2 that had NFL stuff. And Walter Payton used to come on my screen every Monday. And Walter Payton played for the Bears. And Walter Payton was just an absolute superstar to me, age 7 or 8. I'd see him just doing stuff that wasn't normal. And he didn't have a great team with him when I first started watching it. And then suddenly they went and won the Super Bowl. And I thought, you know what? This is going to be great. I'm going to be winning trophies left, right and center, Super Bowls every single year. That wasn't the way it was, but I wouldn't change it for it. It's a proper love affair that I have with them. All coming right back to Walter Payton. I got the joy, actually, of interviewing his son, Jared, at one of our shows at the very start. And it was pretty cool to talk to the son of Walter Payton.
Man, that is pretty cool. That is very cool. We get a range of answers when we ask why the Vikings to people coming on our show. And it ranges from Madden, which is a pretty staple answer, to all sorts of stuff, family backgrounds and all sorts. So, nice to hear.
Can I interrupt you on that one? I live in Sweden, right? And my wife is Swedish, right? So I said I was coming on this show and she has no interest in the NFL at all. So I said, she said, what team are you going to? Minnesota Vikings. So she's basically said that our daughter is going to be a Vikings fan because my daughter was born in Sweden.
Mate, so you tell us your address and we'll send you a patch.
Absolutely nothing. I'm telling you, it's nothing. I've got years to get rid of that terrible disaster that was today.
Mate, if you're following trends like that, both my kids are Sunderland fans. They're just going to have to put up with it for the rest of their lives, unfortunately. So hopefully both the Vikings and the Sunderland, hopefully their fortunes turn around. But good to hear the reason why you've chosen the Bears. I mean, we purple tinted glasses, we know we don't understand why anyone would pick anyone other than the Vikings. But yeah, good to hear. And coming back, I suppose we probably already know the answer to this, but favorite Bears player of all time?
Yeah, it's Walter Payton. It just is. It's so easy to give that answer. I'm sure that you guys have similar scenarios when it comes to the Vikings and certain players. And it's just, he epitomizes everything. I was over in Chicago last year and go to Soldier Field and see his big statue outside the stadium. And it brought it all home for me. It's the reason why I'm a Bears fan. And it'll always be. And that's why Chicago Bears fans love running backs and love to have that feeling of tough now stuff, and Walter Payton brings that all day, every day.
Yeah, that's cool. John Reese, have you got any fond memories of the Bears? I almost like feel like that's a bit slight swearing.
It's tough to ask the lads that. I'm looking forward to this answer.
My favorite Bears memory was probably when Channel 5, I believe it was, got in touch with us and asked us to watch the game on a live stream of whilst we were being recorded by them, and our reactions, plastered all over the TV as things would happen. The Vikings, of course, won the game. Great one-handed grab by Phelan. But there is a clip that's become immortal of me, of it's Cordarrelle Patterson running back the second half kickoff for a touchdown against the Vikings and sort of ripping my heart out, and my friends all recording my face as they saw sort of the life of me leave my body as this touchdown happened. I was like, oh dear. So if I have a memory of the Bears, that's probably the one that I would go for, because I try and purge what happened in Minnesota last year out from my memories.
John, what about you? Come on, what's your memories of the Bears?
The same game with Reese was doing that live on Channel 5. We actually done it through a Skype with all of our fans, and we tried to get a skull chant going, and you can't get a skull chant going live on Skype because the timing's well off and it looks really awkward. It's so funny to sit there back and watch it, but yeah, that was really bad. But yeah, it's Bears I've always got respect for. You've always got respect for your division rivals like that, apart from, as Ant says, the Packers.
Yeah, I think like you said, the Packers does, the hatred for the Packers does unite us. I suppose I'm a recent convert into really getting into the NFL, really. And then therefore my memories of the Bears doesn't stretch back too far. But even if it did, traveling all those miles that we did to Minnesota last season, expecting to see Kirk Cousins stomp all over the Bears at home, to watch him snap his Achilles early on in the season, then have to watch a combination of Josh Dobbs and Heart Attack Mullins play against the Bears. And in what was, I mean, the atmosphere and everything about it was incredible, but the game was fairly horrendous. And when TJ Hockenson went up and scored that touchdown in the fourth, I thought that was it. I thought we would just turn everything around, everything would be fine. But no, Justin Fields managed to go on a drive in that last quarter and kill all our dreams, which was horrible. But I suppose that's a nice segue, almost like I know what I'm talking about, nice segue into the next question for you, Ant. What do you feel about Justin Fields? He's obviously gone to the Steelers. How's that hole going to be filled? How are you feeling about it?
He's dead to me. No, not at all. I think, look, Justin Fields has an emotional connective to Chicago fans. And there's a feeling among Chicago fans. It was a complete civil war this past summer. It's been not nice, if I'm honest. The Bears had two picks in the top 10. And yet and all, people were killing each other over whether Justin Fields stays, where he goes. Every single decision that was being made, it was almost a decision on whether Justin Fields stays or not. For me, Justin Fields is a great guy. It hurts me greatly to see the package that he got to go to the Steelers for. I think that's an absolute steal for Pittsburgh. But that's what the league says about Justin Fields right now. And that does hurt, because I think he's a better player than 75% of the quarterbacks that were taken in the free agency market. I think he could have done a real job for a lot of teams. But that's just the way the market is. I think the move on Fields, what people forget about, is usually they were saying it's either Justin Fields' fault or it's the Bears' fault. And it's somewhere in the middle. For example, the Bears in year one of Justin Fields' existence, Matt Nagy tried to kill him. We played the Browns and he played no tight ends. He played nothing. And it was just, it was a free for all on him. I think it was 9 sacks or something. Year two, in comes Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles suddenly has a scenario where he just takes everything apart, and it's just Justin on his own. And Justin made that season entertaining with some of the runs he did, some of the I still go back to the play in Minnesota where he was pulled back when he gets a sensational run of touchdown. But like, and then you come into this year and he's told, oh, you got 1 year to prove yourself almost. And then you sit there and his old line gets injured. He gets injured, comes back, plays quite well near the end. The crowd are all for him. But at the end of the day, people are Bears going to have to pay him next year. They got the number one pick. They have someone like Caleb Williams sitting there to be taken. And I think it made sense for the Bears. On the flip side of Justin, I always in the Irish Bears show talk about this thing called 47-6. 47-6 is the big three games the Bears had against the Browns, against the Lions, and against the Bengals, I think. I could be wrong on that one. Where they lost massive leads in the third quarter. Broncos, it was. Massive leads in the third quarter last year. And defense gave up 47 points. But the offense only scored 6. And Justin was the quarterback in all those three games. So at the end of the day, he wasn't finishing it off in four-quarter matches. And again, I've got 2 Justin Fields jerseys. My kid has got a Justin Fields jersey. He is, for me, such a great guy. You want everything but the best from him. I hope he wins that spot in Pittsburgh just for him. And I think I hope he goes back and proves it to people. But from a Chicago Bears perspective, I think it was the right move.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, of course, what happened with Fields and the move to Pittsburgh. Of course, Ryan Poles didn't really have any, you know, allegiance to Justin Fields. He wasn't the quarterback that he drafted, but he still came forth and sort of admitted that he rebuffed trade offers from other teams to send Fields to what would be described as more of a desirable location in Pittsburgh. Of course, you know, there was a few moments in last season where Fields was, you know, publicly calling out some of the play calling. And like you say, Matt Nagy was in his earlier years was trying to get him killed. Do you feel like Chicago and Fields, it was just never really the right marriage?
Yeah, that's a fair comment. I think that goes back to the whole 3 years that Justin had at Chicago. He was never really given a chance. Now you listen to one of my podcaster co-hosts on the Irish Bear Show would scream at me for saying that comment. He'd kill me. Tony would for that. He'd point at stats and point at this, point at the other. But for me, Justin was very unlucky in Chicago in year 1 and 2. Year 3 comes along and like his left tackle, his left guard, his right guard, all are on injured reserve in periods of time in that season. And we had Lucas Patrick at center. And I think with all due respect to the U3 lads, he was doing a better job at center than Lucas Patrick. So we then had a situation where that was what it is. But unfortunately, Justin had a real good chemistry with DJ Moore, real good chemistry with Cole Kmet. But then you look at someone like Darnell Mooney, and the league sees Darnell Mooney as a £39 million player over the next 3 years. Atlanta Falcons are paying him $13 million, and there was no connection with Darnell Mooney last year with Justin. So you got to ask a question about whether the play calling. I think how in God's name Luke Getsy has a job, I don't know, but enjoy that, Raiders. But for me, it just felt that it was the right time to move on. And then there's a financial connection to it and the importance that Ryan Poles has put towards having money to pay his own players in a couple of years' time. So instead of having to put money on Justin Fields, who unfortunately hasn't produced what you want to guarantee him as your franchise quarterback, you kind of have to move on then.
We can definitely relate to having a civil war this summer. And I think paying Kirk that was something we all were like, all right, none of us were going to pay him that much ever. So yeah, we could definitely relate to having a
I was hoping you'd pay that. I'll be completely honest with you. So I was hoping you'd pay that. That's an example of why I think you made the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah. If we're having divisional rivals saying we were hoping that we would pay that. Yeah. But yeah, I can definitely, it was very, very, very well known that there was a huge civil war going on in the fan base that, over at the Bears, between the field lovers and the field haters. But I definitely agree with you that I don't think he was ever put in a situation properly where he could show his best.
Yeah, I think if you use an example of Detroit Lions. So if Justin Fields was traded to the Detroit Lions 3 years ago, let's use them as an example. That's a team who went and built through their trenches. That's a team that basically almost ignored the quarterback position for a long period of time and are now reaping the rewards of it. Now you could argue whether Jared Goff is a franchise quarterback. I know a lot of Lions fans will say he is. I don't definitely think he is. But if Justin Fields goes to the Lions, Justin Fields is a much better player, in my opinion. If he'd gone into that situation, if unbelievably, if he'd gone up north, up to Green Bay, and sat behind Karen for a year, he'd have been a sensational player. Because for me, Green Bay have the best head coach in the division, and that would have created some sort of opportunities for Justin. He wouldn't have had. He wouldn't have had the pressure to be this certain type of player that he would have to be at Chicago. The expectation on the quarterback in Chicago, because we haven't had one, is off the charts. And that extra pressure, hopefully by going to Pittsburgh, he doesn't have that. And you start seeing it. Because I disagree with people, because I've watched them. He can throw the football. He can throw the ball. Like he isn't just this running back quarterback that I'm hearing all the time. He did it because he was scared off his mind. But he can throw the ball. And I'd be interested to see how he gets on to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you make a really good point about the situation that a quarterback comes into. And of course, we're all fans of teams that inevitably really need to go down the quarterback route in the draft. A lot is made of the situation in Minnesota being the perfect situation for a quarterback to come into. But, you know, not so much is said about the position of the Chicago Bears and what it's going to be like coming in there. Of course, Caleb Williams is heavily linked with the number one pick. I mean, it's almost a gimme that that's going to happen. Do you feel like he will have more success than Justin Fields did coming into a team that, like you've admitted, has still got some holes to it? Some holes in it.
Yeah, it's chalk and cheese. Caleb Williams is coming into a very good team. Again, this team won 7 games last year. Should have won 10. Should have won 10. There's no question about that. The collapse in those 3 games, and suddenly the Bears win 10 games, and that means they're, playoff position somewhere? Don't go any further than that, but they are. They brought in Keenan Allen. That's a sensational get. It's a 1-year contract, but that's a sensational get for any rookie quarterback. They've got Everett at tight end that goes with Cole Kmet. Suddenly he's getting weapons. He's got the 9th pick, so you either stick at 9th and get another wide receiver in Neighbors or someone of that ilk, right? That you may get towards, or you turn around, you get your 3 tech. You get your edge rusher that's there. Montez Sweat came in and suddenly our defense looked awesome in the last 6 or 7 games of the year. So compared to when Justin Fields came in and it was lame duck quarterback, a lame duck head coach, probably lame duck general manager as well, and then came into then just a complete rebuild, Caleb Williams is coming into a scenario that is really successful. The only thing I'll say about Caleb is he's coming into a division that's unbelievably competitive. This is probably the most competitive I've seen in the NFC North in a long, long time. You see confidence amongst everybody in Chicago, in Minnesota, in Green Bay, in Detroit. Detroit, oh my God. That's one thing I do have to say. Their GM could walk through the middle of Detroit, burn the place to the ground, and most of the Lions fans said he was right. It's insane the love that the Detroit Lions have towards their GM. It's funny to watch. But from a Bears perspective, I love it that no one's talking about them being a good spot for Caleb Williams to come into. I think Bears are going to surprise teams. I think they've got a lot more coming through. I think there is a real need for edge 2. There's a real need for wide receiver 3. There's a real need probably for a 3 tech. But I think they could get away with some of those holes not being desperately filled. And it'll be very interesting to see. I think you look at the Vikings. I think the Vikings, very, very smart move a week or so ago, getting that second first round pick, because you guys need to go up and get a rookie quarterback. Because if you start with Sam Darnold, then you are the worst team in the division. That just is facts. Sam Darnold is not going to win you football games. In fact, I would argue he might actually lose you football games. However, some of your other free agents that you brought in are really, really good. Greenard's a fantastic get at edge. Really would have loved him at the Bears. Loved the price. Loved the move that's made by Minnesota. Really smart. It replaces Danielle Hunter in a really, really smart way. And then you move in little other areas that you've also fixed up your linebacking room. Van Ginkel's a good, not great, but good getting. And Aaron Jones, I was hoping he was going to be out of the division. But that's a fantastic get for a year if he's fit. Because that's a massive question mark. That's why he's only a 1-year deal. And his hatred for the Packers seems to be off the charts. So, look, Vikings are going to be good. Lions have got better. Unfortunately, they've done smart things. their culture is rubbish, but that's a second conversation. But they've done really well at safety and at cornerback, which is an area of a weakness for them. They'll go and get someone decent in the draft as well, because that's the way they do it. And Green Bay are Green Bay. They're just going to find some gem in the sixth round who's going to be the greatest player of all time. I guarantee you. That's just what happens up there, field of gold. And that's why this division is really, 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 really interesting. I think two or three teams might get out of this division, in fact.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you there. With your, you spoke about your ninth pick there. What would you want to take personally? What position would you want to take with that ninth pick?
I go back and forth on this every day. Right, so I'm sure, like you guys, I must have done 400 mock drafts in the last 24 hours, let alone the last week. So for me, I sit at nine and I go, my instinct is to go, oh, that'd be cool to get a wide receiver there. Just be cool to get a third wide receiver and give Caleb another shot. But then I'll say this, if Joe Alt somehow gets past the Titans at seven, a left tackle, I'm flying to Chicago and I'm putting in the pick myself. Like, Joe Alt at nine is a must get, right? Now, the Bears only have four picks, but it's still a must get. He is that good at left tackle. I think he's gone to Tennessee Titans at seven, so I don't think that's a conversation. You may end up having a scenario that you look to trade back, but you only trade back if people are going to want to come up, right? So the only way you want to come up is if there's probably a quarterback. So who do I think falls out of the quarterback? I don't think anything falls to nine. So I don't think the Bears, I think the Bears will pick at nine. And then you go down to, well, is it going to be an edge rusher? I prefer a tree tech. Everyone's jumping up and down with Dallas Turner. Not massively a fan in how Bears play. Probably would prefer Latu if he's fit, or Verse, just purely because he's a big monster. I like Murphy out of Texas, the tree tech. I think that guy is going to cause damage. And you got to remember, we have a defensive head coach and we have a kind of defensive minded brain set in that way. So wouldn't surprise me if they try and go defense there too. But to answer your question, long-winded, Ray, I'd love them to stay at nine. I really would. You don't get a chance of getting a top 10 pick that often. So unless someone offers you something for a JJ McCarthy or for a Daniels or a May, that's off the charts, first, second, all this other loads of stuff to try and get to nine, I'd prefer them to stay at nine, if I'm honest.
I think you're ambitious hearing that or feeling that these quarterbacks might fall to nine. The people that we hear say, well, the person who said that they need to trade up for a quarterback that isn't the Vikings is Sean Payton of the Broncos. Now, I would love you to do more than anything else, you know, just to screw over Sean Payton and make sure he doesn't get that pick off of you.
He won't get the pick off us because he doesn't have a second. So that's the only way we made a nine is getting a second. He's only got a third. So the Broncos don't have that. The Raiders is the one. We won't trade with the Vikings. We just won't.
Kwesi loves to trade with you. Well, he loves to trade within the division, shall we say.
In the division, he's never traded with the Bears. I'd be stunned if Paul trades and gets you guys a quarterback. I would be absolutely stunned if he does. Personally, I think, by the way, if you're looking at quarterbacks for the Minnesota Vikings, you have to jump the Giants at six. I think you'll find it'll be quarterback 1, 2, 3, and maybe 5. And it's so interesting that New England Patriots come out and basically put up the for sale sign on their number 3 pick. And I think everyone's looking at that. You got to be very careful. If you're the Vikings, you got to be very careful when you do the deal. Because if you do a deal with Arizona Cardinals at 4, for example, and you guys want, let's say, whichever quarterback you want, thinking that the first 3 are gone and you get the 4th one, well, I think New England is for sale. Because I think New England are tanking this year with the hope of getting better the following year. So I think it's going to come to that, which is why I do believe the Bears will end up picking at nine, because I don't think anyone will offer them. And you can't in this draft. This draft is not deep. You can't, for me, go beyond number 15 in the first round. I don't think there's that level. Once you go beyond that, you're into second round stuff, and you got to be a bit careful then.
Yeah, I agree. I think when you get beyond pick 15, it's solid, but it's no longer exceptional. I think it's interesting you say about, you know, jumping and the needing to be up to the top end of the draft for a quarterback. I feel like, you know, the top three quarterbacks of, you know, Williams, Daniels and May, they are 1, 2, 3. And if you want one of those three, you have to be in the top three. I don't want to trade up to number 5, or I don't want to stay at number 5, because I just have that horrible feeling that you'll get to number 5 and then come draft night, The trade comes in. The Giants jump the Vikings at number four, and you've lost your quarterback, and you've traded up to number five for what?
JJ McCarthy.
Well, McCarthy will be gone. He's the number four quarterback, in my opinion. I mean, I've been a big fan of Bo Nix just because the way of that sort of field general style. I think that's a sensible, you know, head well and truly screwed into his shoulders quarterback, but not at number five. You know, like he's that sort of, you know, after pick 15 sort of talent, but he will go higher because the quarterback needs this draft. But if you are the Vikings and you're trying to put a neutral head in it, where do you feel, or who do you feel is the best quarterback fit for the Vikings?
If you somehow got Drake May, that would be on a different planet. Drake May is the only quarterback outside of Caleb Williams that excited me when I was doing my research on it. I get JJ McCarthy because he seems to be a leader. Daniels is basically Justin Fields light. I'm really sorry he is. And it stuns me that Justin Fields gets a sixth round in 2025 and everyone's talking about Jalen Daniels number two. That doesn't seem to be the same thing that the league said about Justin Fields. And now we have a quarterback at two. Personally, there's always one player that drops in the draft and I think it's good to be Jalen Daniels, personally. I think that's just my feeling. Washington could do something mad, but I would be surprised. For me, Drake May is the pick. If he could somehow get to three and Drake May is there, and if he don't take him, he is everything in a bag of chips, as they say in Ireland. I really, really like him. The only thing I don't like about him, he sometimes walks to his receivers, but like it's not like you guys don't have like one of the greatest wide receivers in the game. So he'll be grand. It just, for me, that's the pick. If I'm Minnesota Vikings, he's the guy. He starts week one. He can lead a team. He already has a decent offensive line. He'll have the best defensive coordinator in the division. He'll be missing your best defensive players gone, but you've replaced with a couple of different spots in there. So he'll be going into a team that will have that. It'll be under the roof, so he don't have to worry about the weather and stuff like that. So all those little things would make me look at if I was a Vikings fan and go Drake May. I'm not as negative about JJ McCarthy as a lot of other fans out there. I think there is a value to JJ McCarthy. I've spoken about Daniels already. I think those ones, once you go beyond that though, I think you're right. And once you go beyond that, you may as well keep your two first round picks and then go and see if you can get Nix, as you said, maybe, or go get Penix or whoever else is out there that might get you there to a point. Or you turn around and say, you know what, we're going to do what the Lions did and we're going to properly solidify parts of the team that we want to get solidified and maybe get JJ's contract done and then put someone outside of that. And the outside of that at 11, you may get Roma Dunze, you may get Neighbors could fall there, maybe, maybe not. And then later on in the draft, you could go get somebody like a Jackson Powers Johnson, the center. And suddenly you've got two stable mates that'll be in Minnesota for a while. So then it comes down to, do you want your quarterback? Do you want the quarterback that you really want? Or do you want to have position and needs filled for the next 4 to 5 years?
It's been such a, it's odd to say it almost, but it's such a similar situation in Minnesota and Chicago. Because when we got a new GM and got a new head coach, obviously Poles interviewed for the job and we were thinking about, well, who's going to take it? I was happy that Kwesi came in, if I was honest. The some of the stuff that Poles was saying in some of the interviews, I wasn't massively keen on. And I know we talked about that last time we spoke, Ant. And obviously this civil war with the quarterback, I think if we went into this draft and did not take a quarterback, I'd hate to think what the fan base toxicity would be like. I think it has to be a quarterback. And what worries me is that you take Caleb at number one, Drake May goes at number two, and we just haven't been able to get the quarterback that we wanted. Because I'm like you, and I think the exciting one for me is Drake May. Williams is a good player, and we know that is. And we know he's going to go to you guys. We discussed last week that I said he'd got more red flags than Welsh bunting. And he worries me a little bit, but he's talented. No, you know, almost generational talented.
He's the best quarterback in the draft. And if you don't agree with that, then there's something wrong. I agree with what you're saying around going up for the Vikings and getting a Drake May, but you should be worried about Caleb Williams. This isn't Justin Fields. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't some other quarterback the Bears have had in a long time. This is a proper talented player. He can play in the pocket. He can do the mad stuff that will be dragged out of him. Will he throw interceptions? Yes. Will he fumble the football? Yes. Will he be the most exciting quarterback the Chicago Bears have ever seen? Yes. And for me, they've got a bigger question for the Chicago Bears as the head coach. I'm not a fan of our head coach. I don't think he's the person that'll get us over the top. But he's going to be there for at least another 2 years now. For me, with the Vikings, what would concern me as a Bears fan would actually be if you didn't get the top two quarterbacks and they're gone, and you forced yourselves to get a quarterback because of the fan base. You said something a minute ago, Rich, about the fact that the fans will go mad. A good GM shouldn't care. Good GM should go, I'll go with Ratsies. Like, for example, the fan base in Chicago, the majority of the fan base wanted Justin Fields. The crowd were cheering his name the last game of the season at home. Justin, all this kind of stuff. That didn't matter. Our GM took a sixth-round pick for him next year. So you've got to, if your GM is strong and your GM is decent, if your GM is strong, then he shouldn't care what the fans think. He should do what's best for the Minnesota Vikings. And I think if you go to the scenario where you've missed out on your first three quarterbacks, missed out on the fourth quarterback, let's just say, going what Reece said earlier in number five, and you've missed those top four quarterbacks, then the situation shouldn't be anything other than best player available, and the best player available is Marvin Harrison Jr., and suddenly now you've got the two best wide receivers in the country on one side and the other. So I could probably throw the ball to one of those two and get 3,000 yards. So straight away, you've got to start thinking about, and it's very difficult, easy for me to say this as a Bears fan looking in from the outside, but from the Bears' perspective, I've looked at it at what Ryan Paul has done this summer and gone, okay, he's trying to do what's best for the Chicago Bears, not necessarily what the fans think.
Yeah, I agree with what Paul's done. I think what Paul's done this offseason has been, you know, the right move every time, and it's frustrating as an opposition fan when you one, see it, and two, have to admit it. For me, Kwesi's offseason, you know, the first draft was a disaster. His first draft was a disaster, but it wasn't his scouts, and you can sort of forgive him for that. Second draft, much improved, but this is the one that I feel can make or break him, because his offseason so far, you know, he's done everything right the last two offseasons. He's got rid of the expensive veteran contracts, which Spielman would just keep giving year upon year to these guys, just out of sentiment, whereas, you know, Kwesi didn't have that, so he, you know, moved on from them. This year, I'll say he's let Hunter go. He's bought in Grenard. He's made the right moves, but it all hinges on getting the quarterback. If Kwesi has done all of this and then fails to land on a quarterback, which, let's face it, you can see O'Connell, he's got his eyes on sort of two guys. It's Drake May or JJ McCarthy. It's one of those two. And if they come away from the draft without one of those two, you can almost say it's a failure. Unless, you know, if they end up with Daniels, there's people that are high on Daniels, maybe you can excuse that. But coming away from the draft without one of those two, I think that could break his offseason.
So what's the offer? So you're going from 11 to 3, right? What are you offering? So let's say New England turn around to you and say, okay, no, we'll have your two firsts. We'll have next year's first. We'll have next year's second. The year after, in 2026, we'll have a second and a third then as well. Oh, and also we'll throw in a wide receiver to us, throw in an edge to us, throw in a player. Because you got to remember, the Bears got a guy going from 9 to 1, right? And we got a boatload, right? So you're going up the tree because everyone knows you guys are the ones that have to come up. So if I'm New England, I am literally sitting there going, yeah, I want your two first this year, first next year, second the year after. What if that's the offer? Do you want your GM to take that?
I think if I'm the GM, you almost have to do it in stages. You have to get up to number five first, which, you know, is not where you want to be picking. You want to get up to number five. And if you can do that without using next year's first year round pick, you're in a good position. Because I feel like if you are New England and you're saying, hey, do you want to drop down two spots in this year's draft and gain a first round pick next year? I think that completely changes the narrative from, like you say, going from 11 to 3. you are going to have to literally give them the farm and all the animals inside it. You know, you've got to almost take it in stages. You've got to go, okay, here's 11, 23, a third round pick from 2025 or whatever you want to do to get up to five, and then you go to New England. Okay, here's drop two picks and gain a first round pick. You know, I feel that's the only way this could really
If I'm New England, I turn around and say no, because I know you want my quarterback. I know you want three. So I'm turning around to you and saying, yeah, you're at the five. Well done. Thumbs up. The offer's still the exact same. And this is my point about it's not as easy for you guys to get up to three. And again, I'm saying this not out of jest and not out of anything else. I'm just pointing out from me looking in from the inside. Everyone's going, oh, we'll just trade up to three. We'll trade up to four. We'll trade up to five. It's not that easy because everyone knows you guys are coming. So it's not like you're sneaking in. For example, last year was it Arizona did an unbelievable smart move. They went number two and then they traded everything and got to number three. And suddenly they came away with Will Anderson and they came away with CJ Stroud because no one knew they were coming. No one knew they were coming at three. So whatever offer they got at three, I can't remember who they did a deal with. They were like, oh, well, this is unexpected. Okay, yeah. We've got 20 seconds to decide yes or no on this. This seems pretty cool. Yes, we're going to say yes to that. And Arizona came out with a fantastic deal. Everyone knows you guys are coming. Like, it's not like you can shock them going, ooh, we're just going to five. Like, everyone knows you have to get to three or four. So for me, the question is, if I'm a Vikings fan is, am I willing to give up two first rounders, a second rounder this year, a first rounder next year, and maybe something else in 2026, at least a second and a third? Am I willing to give that up for Drake May or for JJ McCarthy? If the answer is yes, that's cool. If you believe that everything else is set up for you guys and you're ready to make a go, or, and this is devil's advocate time, you hold your two first round picks, you have Sam Darnold for a year, you get Penix maybe at 11, and you get a number 23 pick where you suddenly got a bit of stability, whether that's, again, the center I spoke about who is generational, that guy, another wide receiver maybe, and suddenly you're looking at it as a fan going, Jesus Christ, what a waste of a year. But as a team, we're like, we're better now and we're getting ready to move into next year where we're able to really develop on with a first round. It does for me anyway, looking from the outside. That's the question you want to get to, and I understand both answers, by the way.
The answer is yes. I said it last week, I said it the week before, I've even mentioned the unthinkable of trading JJ and going up there. And God, John, I can see you. I can see you.
Please do that.
But you want that for one reason. That's to get him out of the division.
Please trade him to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you trade JJ, then you're putting everything on a kid who better be right. You better be right. Because if you do that, you've handed away boatloads of stuff and your sensational wide receiver, you better get it right.
The safety net is, if we sell the farm to go up to two, and that's the problem. I think three's not enough. I think it has to be two because I'm like you. I'm not convinced on Daniels. JJ is not worth going up to 3-4. So you have to go up to two to get Drake May. And if we have to sell the farm to do it, then the safety net is the $125 million in cap space that we've got next year so that the picks that you would have filled your team with, you can go out into free agency and get the players that you need. And if we allow him to sit for a year, if we allow Sam Darnold to have a redemption arc like Baker Mayfield has done, like other quarterbacks have done, you know, he can go off into the sunset with a different team and well done to him. I think that's just what has to happen because if you look at the quarterback draft class next year, it's fairly poor. And then you got to think, well, where's it coming from? Where is the replacement to Kirk Cousins coming from? If it doesn't come this year, I think we might end up in a hole for a little bit of time. Because as you say, the division is pretty good. As much as I called the Lions frauds last year, they're obviously not. And it's going to be a tough old few years. You're going to have Caleb Williams. For some reason, the Green Bay Packers are still good. The Lions are going to be pretty good again. You know, we could be lowly down the bottom of the division for some years to come. I think it has to be now. And I think we have to do it early. I'd do it tomorrow. I'd ring up and say, what do you want? That's the quarterback that we want. What do you want for it? And go from there.
I think you're right in saying, like I say, you said about the Texans Cardinals trade last year. And I think the only reason you wait for the draft is to try and put that urgency and that panic into someone. I can understand that the current way, I mean, the time of recording, we're going through pro days and things like that. And maybe you want to see everyone throw out their pro day. Maybe you want to get some private workouts in before you start, you know, trading up. But it's going to have to come soon. And there's only one reason you'd leave it, and that's to try and instill some panic into the other party.
See, the other thing I'd give back on that is that you have to have panic to begin with, because New England may turn around and say, we're going to take quarterback, lads. That's it. And that's game over for you guys. So, like, you need trade partners on both sides. It's like the Bears fans are going mad because we only got 4 picks and we don't have a pick in the second round, even though Montez Sweat's our second round pick. And we don't have a pick until we get to 75. Oh, we must trade down from 9. No, you need a partner to want to trade up to get there. And look, a perfect scenario for Minnesota would be that there wouldn't have been so much jumping down about JJ McCarthy. That would have been a perfect scenario, because then 2 months ago, he was probably going to go around 14, 15. Perfect. He sits at 11, you get him at 11, and then you move on. You probably wouldn't have traded up into the late part of the first round anyway. I think what sometimes we get obsessed as fans about what it is that we want to see as well. You got to remember, these are rookie quarterbacks coming in. There's a lot of rookie quarterbacks have failed. Minnesota are coming into, he's coming into a decent setup. Not sensational, but decent. Very good. Very good defense. Very, very good defensive coach, as I said already. Some questions maybe on the head coach, but okay. It's not necessarily a bad head coach. I take your head coach ahead of our head coach. But for me, when it comes to the Vikings, I just think that it's not like you're a quarterback away from winning the Super Bowl. And that's the only part of it that I'd worry for you. That's all. Not that I worry too much about you, by the way. Not too much.
You feeling okay there, John?
I was just going to bring about you wanting to trade JJ all the time, Rich.
Not all the time. I didn't say all. I just said I can understand a scenario where it's looked at. That's all I'm saying. Because if you ring up Washington and say, do you fancy JJ? And we'll take your first round pick this year, your first round pick next year, your second round pick this year, and your second round pick next year. And all of a sudden, you pick the quarterback that you want. You pick neighbors. You've got two other first round picks, and then you smash the defensive line. Is that?
There's no way Washington say yes to that. They just
This is my point.
They just don't. You gotta have another team. You gotta have another team that wants to do these things. JJ is a sensational wide receiver. He is sensational. Would have made Justin look off the chart and probably still be in Chicago if he was there. But he's not getting you that picks. He's just not. Like, he's not getting you Washington's first and second this year and first and second next year. I'd argue, like, you'll need to give your two firsts and JJ to start Washington to have a conversation with you. But no, they're serious. Why should they move? Because you've said it yourselves. There's no quarterbacks next year. So what are they doing? They're gone. They've got JJ, and they've got who's shown? Actually, I don't know who the Washington quarterback is right now. I don't know.
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
Right? Rubbish, right? So, like, JJ's there. Clap, clap, clap. Loads of people with the jerseys on the back, and there's no one to throw them the ball, and they don't have a first rounder next year because they've given it to you. If Washington did that, their GM should be fired on the spot.
Like I say, this is my whole problem with the trade JJ argument that people have is, the people who want to trade Justin Jefferson are overvaluing what a franchise quarterback is worth. If you're going to trade Justin Jefferson for a franchise quarterback, a potential franchise quarterback, because let's face it, 50% of these first round quarterbacks are going to bust. Okay. It could be that Williams, McCarthy and May all hit, and it's Daniels, Penix and Nix that fail, or it could be the complete opposite.
Yep.
We don't know. So if you're going to sell the best receiver in football, arguably the best non-quarterback in football, you're going to also have to do that with change. And that change is not going to be small change. That's going to be another first round pick or two. And that's the only way you can go for a potential franchise quarterback. And it's the only way someone will move away from a potential franchise quarterback. Because no matter who you are, if you feel like you can, let's face it, no one fought the Texans going into last year's draft, we're going to be going, oh, these guys are legitimate playoff contenders. Two great first round picks later, and, you know, striking on a mid round pick with Tank Dell, everyone's talking about them now, next year, as being a legitimate contender. And that's where that's where the difference is. And that's why you can't say trade JJ and get stuff back for him. It's trade JJ and lose more.
All I said was it'd be remiss of your GM not to at least think about it. That's all. If you are really, really set on wanting your franchise quarterback, it's something you've got to think about.
Should only last 10 seconds.
I mean, he's pretty good.
Should I do this? No, I will not make it out of St. Paul. That's how it will be.
Or he'd be a hero in Chicago and Green Bay and Detroit, though.
Unfortunately, it's not like you're in London. It's not like there's an embassy of Wisconsin in Minneapolis.
Thank God. There's not even an airport in Wisconsin. Let's not go too far. In Green Bay, I found out recently they have an airport of four like planes can land a week or something. Does that get me talking about Green Bay?
Well, we will get you talking about Green Bay just to wrap things up, because we've said bits about Detroit. I think we've all sort of got mutual respect for Detroit. We all have a mutual hatred for Green Bay, but we haven't really spoken too much about their offseason. Where do you feel Green Bay stack up in the division going forward?
I grew up in the 1990s watching football, soccer, right? And Manchester United always seemed to find some under 15 lad that ended up being Pele, right? Just every single time you thought they were dead, Ferguson would find some lad from the back end of Stratford and he'd come out and suddenly he's David Beckham or Brian Giggs or whoever. Green Bay had the exact same scenario. I laughed so much when Jordan Love was traded. Loved it. Brilliant. This is great. He's actually a nice guy. He makes it even better when he fails because Green Bay always have when it comes to quarterbacks. But for me, what intrigues me about this Green Bay team is that they seem to have... They have the best coach in the division, unfortunately. They had a terrible defensive coach, and finally they fired him. So now they're going to focus on that. They seem to have hundreds of picks again. I don't know where this happens every single year. They have like 10 third-round picks and 4 second-round picks and all this kind of stuff. It always seems to fall right for them. In saying that, the optimist in me looks at Jordan Love and said, every single team has watched him play now for a year. So let's see how he goes against teams who are going to be throwing different looks at him. Because he didn't look very good in the playoff game, right? The second one with that is I honestly believe Aaron Jones was a massive part of what made Green Bay successful last year. And he's now a Minnesota Viking with a hatred for Green Bay that is brilliant to see. And that was the dumbest move of the offseason, by the way. The dumbest move in having... Josh Jacobs taken over from Aaron Jones. Makes no sense to me. So they've got loads of these young receivers. They've loads of these young players. I love their move, unfortunately, for the safety out of the Giants. McKinney, that's a fantastic move for them. I love the fact they got rid of their defensive coordinator. Unfortunately, I was hoping Barry would be there for life. They've an Irish kicker who's actually quite good. Hurts my soul. But overall, Green Bay will be Green Bay. But also, the boogeyman is gone. Karen is no longer there. Like, they haven't got the referees on their side as much as they had every single time you played in Lambeau. Teams aren't as scared going up there as they used to be. I can't say it because the Bears have lost 10 in a row against them, but I could see the Bears, Lions, and the Vikings going, yeah, do you know what? I have no problem going up to Lambeau this time. That seems to be fine. He's not there anymore. And therefore, I think it'll be interesting. The most interesting team out of the four to watch will be Green Bay because of what Jordan Love does in year two, what that whole offense looks like without Aaron Jones and running back, what Jacobs does up there. And they've also lost their left tackle. So, yeah, there's hope. But again, it's the draft. They'll find four lads who are Hall of Famers. I guarantee you. Just is what happens every year.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'll enjoy the similarity you've put there on Manchester United. I always said that if Fergie was still there, that Harry Kane would have gone to Manchester United years ago and they would have continued being one of the best teams in England. They just had that thing that they managed to do that, and very frustrating, if I was honest. And yeah, Green Bay have got exactly the same situation. They do tend to find decent players out of nowhere. And I do you know what? I completely agree with you as well. Jordan Love comes across as a really nice guy, which is, again, really frustrating because I was hoping that he was horrible, but he's not. He's a really nice guy.
Well, coming after the two they had beforehand, the first lad, I'm not going to say it because it's just disgusting what that lad has. And then you've Vice President Rogers, who just on a scale of humans that, yeah, not the greatest person I'd want to be around. So those two were your quarterbacks for the last 30 years. Jordan Love comes along and yeah, I can say, and he is a nice guy. He is a good guy. There's a French Bears fan who I'm good friends with, who met him in France, and Jordan Love took a photograph with him, took slagging him off, having a bit of fun, and seemed a complete nice guy. It's an amazing backstory. If you want to see a backstory on Jordan Love, look up his backstory. It's an amazing backstory on his father and how he persevered through that, and how he then went to Green Bay and was laughed at by his own fans, let alone anybody else, and suddenly gets his chance and does really well. And if he was any other team, he'd be my second favorite quarterback after whoever the Chicago Bears quarterback is. But unfortunately, he's up there, and it's just annoying.
Yeah, what I'm really hoping for is, like English bands, he has a difficult second album, and that actually his second season, like you say, people have actually got the workings of him, because in motion last year when he dropped back and threw some passes, he just looked really good, and that's super frustrating. So I'm hoping that actually people, I mean, our secondary when we played him was pretty poor, even though we beat him at Lambeau. I'd like to think that people have got his number now, and that it'll be a little bit more difficult for him next year.
It's that drop back, like you say, it's that drop back that just seems to keep going and going and going and going. Someone's going to figure it out one day, and he's going to get crunched, because no matter how good your tackles are, someone is going to get around the outside, and you're not going to be able to drop back fast enough and far enough. But that's, you know, that's where he might come unstuck.
Do you know what, Ant? It's been incredible speaking to you. I love having fans of other people on the show, other teams on the show, especially in the NFC, because we are a brethren of UK and Ireland NFL fans that get each other, I think, which is nice to see. But we are going to have to wrap it up. I'm going to say thank you very much for coming.
No problem at all, boys. Best of luck with it. All the very best, whatever you did. Good luck with the season. And as during the season, if you wanted me to jump on anytime during the season, just let me know.
Let's do it then. Can you say goodbye, gentlemen?
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
There we go. We've indoctrinated you. You're in the fold now, mate.
All the very best, lads. All the very best for them.
Thank you very much.
And just for everyone, if they do want to follow you, want to hear from you, how can they get hold of you?
I'm sure they want. I'm sure all Vikings fans are desperate to come along and watch the Irish Bears show. It's our 300th episode next week, so we're flying along it there. So you can follow us at Irish Bears Show, or you can follow my good self at Bears Cork. It'll be entertaining listening to me rant on loads of mad stuff.
Yeah, I do follow you, and to be fair, you are fairly entertaining. So I'll give you a bit of a plug there as well. So yeah, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you everyone for being here, and we'll catch you in a bit. Cheers. Ta-ra.